Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about fitness myths and how to major in the majors, minor in the minors, and completely avoid paralysis from analysis. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right, welcome back. Episode 8. The last two episodes, they might have been a little heady, a little deeper into some of the specifics when it comes to those extra benefits that you might not be aware of when it comes to strength training, which is great. We're going to mix it up a little bit today, and we're going to get into sort of the other side of the coin, which is kind of debunking maybe some of the more popular or current myths around fitness and recovery. And our goal here is not to make everybody hate us. For example, I might get into some of the evidence around wearables. And if you notice in the picture here on YouTube, I've got two wearables on. But the idea here is that people are really looking to figure out what's going to be the most effective thing they can do and keep some of this stuff out of their way. And sometimes they don't really know where to start. Like, we're talking about exercise, but it's this 80-20 principle, right? We want you to major on the majors before you start to ask questions around the minors. So it's very common for people to come to me, friends and family members, et cetera, and want to have a long, deep discussion around some sort of new supplement they just discovered somewhere and this kind of certain light thing that's like $12,000. And if they just buy this and sort of this biohacking, you know what I mean, movement, if I purchase that thing, will I get my results? And my question is always back to, well, are you exercising? Are you sleeping? Are you eating, right? Are you drinking water, et cetera? So I think the goal in this episode here is just to take some of the things that might be concerns or of interest or higher on your list and give you permission to move them lower down the list. Okay. So let's start with the fitness side. Some of these things that are common: yoga, Pilates, cardio, etc. Jim, talk to us a little bit about how that might fit into this sort of 80-20.
So the principle is the benefits that you get from any exercise regimen will be in proportion to the quality of the contraction of the muscle against whatever resistance it provides. So jogging, the benefit you get from jogging will be seen in proportion to how your muscles are contracting while you're jogging. And it's not very intense, but you go for a long time. And so, okay. And the same thing with yoga and Pilates, they're good. It's good to move. It's good. You don't want to be sedentary. But the benefits of strength training, focused strength training with high quality contractions of the largest muscular structures in your body, produce a result that cannot be duplicated by any amount of yoga or Pilates or jogging or any other of these modalities, for the reason that the contractions are not as powerful. Mm-hmm. And there's also extraneous counterproductive elements like the time commitment, like the frequency per week that you need to show up. Like in the case of lots of types of cardio, acute injuries, like twisting an ankle or a knee or a hip problem, the long-term injuries, I got shin splints, just wear and tear type stuff, because you have so many repetitions of whatever the motion is in whatever activity you're doing, when really the benefit is inside the muscle. The muscle is where the action is. So it's not that you shouldn't do these things. It's that you should be doing strength training as the first priority, and then you can add whatever you like. But if you're going to try to do a trade-off where I'm doing strength training, I'm going to do yoga or Pilates or something like that instead. Well, okay, that's not bad. It's just you're missing out on the strength training now. So you have just made the situation worse for yourself.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and that applies to across the gamut. Like, we need to ensure, if somebody, this might be a good permission to take this off the list. If you really don't like yoga, great. You know, maybe you can remove it from the list. If you love yoga, it needs to be an and, not an or thing, which is what you just talked about there.
Right.
So some of these things are on the fitness side. Again, we've talked about this in a previous episode. If you want us to go deeper on any of these specific things or any other types of training or exercise, et cetera, then feel free to put that in the comments below. So we've got step one, which we talked about early on, which is the stimulus, right? And then step two, recovery. And step three, adaptation, right? So when it comes to recovering from my exercise and making that faster or just making it more effective, right? So that the adaptation is faster and more profound, right? What's that new supplement, Kyle? Or what's that device? Or what's that thing? So let's talk about the 80-20 here. What do we know when it comes to recovery? What's the most important 80-20 on the recovery side?
The most important, and it's not close, is sleep. You have to sleep. no recovery, no building, no adaptation happens when you are awake. There's triage that happens when you're awake. Like there's last minute, you know, you could swell up when you get a cut, and there's certain things you can have a clot that keeps you from bleeding out. You know, triage can happen while you're awake, but no recovery and no building happens when you are awake. So sleep hygiene should be the focus of all recovery efforts.
Yeah.
So if you are buying the latest supplement or some, like you mentioned, some very expensive device, it better be a sleep device.
Right.
It better be a sleep supplement. It better be focused on sleep. Otherwise, you're making the bed while the house is on fire. Mm-hmm. If your sleep isn't completely nailed, and when I say nailed, I mean there's a huge difference between the 7 hours of sleep you get between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. and the 7 hours of sleep that you get between 12 and 7 because your circadian cycle matters. So it's not just the length of sleep. It's not just the quality of sleep. It's the timing of the sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see sunrise in your eyes, it's like a heist movie and everyone's like setting their watches.
Yep.
All of your glands all the way down, they have to perform functions at different times. It's clockwork. And it all starts, everyone sees the sunrise. We all right, good. Your adrenals are like, woo. Got it. Your thyroid's like, got it, boss. And then your pituitary is like, all right, everyone, in order. And all the way down to your root chakra, we'll call it. Anyway, the point is, it all gets coordinated and synchronized, and it works in this beautiful mechanism that you mess up when you look at alien blue light at night, or when you go to bed too late, or when you fall asleep in front of the TV, or when you eat too late, or when your room is hot when you're trying to sleep, or when you got light in your room when you're trying to sleep, when you brought a device into your room, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So the sleep hygiene is, it seems excessive at first, but once you're experiencing great sleep that's right on time,
yeah,
and you have these things worked out, you will recover so fast it'll make your head spin. Your workouts will skyrocket. And it will be way better for you in a bunch of other ways too, mm-hmm. not just your exercise. And if you had started with supplements and devices first, buying polish for the Titanic instead of avoiding the iceberg, then you're just kind of barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
So that would be where I would start.
We'll put this in the show notes because I can't remember the title of the book right now, but there's been some really good research on this subject, on recovery.
Why we sleep. Matt Walker.
That's a great book. Yeah. So I think we should do a full episode on sleep, and we'll get into that. And just recovery in general, some people looking at, let me look at the scores, let me look at the wearables, let me look at the lights and these sorts of things. And what's that bell curve we talked about the other day? You're kind of like, it's not the Dunning-Kruger effect, but on this side of the bell curve, you're just sort of an idiot. And then on the other side, you're this maze, and you end up with the same result.
The IQ meme?
Yep.
Yeah. Where it's like the idiot and the genius uh-huh. have the same opinion. Then there's the midwit 100 IQ who's like obviously wrong, but he can't think his way out of it.
Right. Yet. So we end up with like, oh, I should probably sleep. I'm tired. I did some work. And then you do all this stuff and I'm going to have to
actually try basic sleep and you don't need this many hours and study show. And it's actually, it's right. a ton of heat. And then the genius people are like, well, basically what sleep. I just said, I'm over right, obviously.
Okay. Apparently.
Yeah. But both sides, the idiots and the genius are like, you got to sleep.
Yeah,
like that's message.
It. Yeah. And I think and I'm no expert in this, but I think part of the issue here is that it goes right back to that consistency, the adherence piece of this yep. equation, because people want quick results and they want to make meaning out of complex things. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the way to do that is to blame everything else, right?
Right.
It's working for everybody else. It's not working for me. It's really complex. It's really confusing. It can't be.
Because if it were really simple, I would already have.
Exactly.
It would have accomplished.
Yeah. It can't be that I go and it's like when they do studies, epidemiological studies on nutrition, and then they follow people around. It's like, oh, you ate like 500 calories more than you thought you ate. You had no clue. Right. Like self-awareness is very challenging.
Well, right? Even dietitians, when they study them and they have dietitians and nutritionists estimate their own calories, they can't do it.
Yeah. It's what is it, like 700 or something like
it's
the range?
It's crazy. That you would not expect. Yeah.
So we're not really aware when we're not being consistent with our sleep, with our strength training. Can you really do it on a fasting machine in 20 minutes and then just have to sleep? And again, we'll get into some nutrition and protein, et cetera.
Yeah.
It can't be that simple. So therefore, let's talk about these other things. Right. And those other things aren't bad, right? But when you get down the road and you're $20,000 in to some devices and you look and feel the exact same that you did before, that's just unfortunate.
It's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's not what you want.
Absolutely. What else comes to your mind when it comes to just recovery? Maybe a little bit on we're not going to get into this too much today. So we'll go deeper on sleep. We'll go deeper on nutrition. And we talked about this a little bit in another episode, but why don't you just touch when it comes to recovery and adaptation on the two concepts of energy balance and protein.
Yeah. So you've placed a demand on your body and you want your body to recover. And you want your body to produce an adaptation above and beyond getting back to zero, getting back to the baseline. So your body's going to need some raw material. Now, all this is non-controversial. That's pretty obvious. It turns out that whether your goal is muscle gain or whether your goal is fat loss or whether your goal is some sort of combination of both, the protein is going to be the building blocks of the thing that you want to build and also has some other benefits. But energy balance comes in because when I always use the example of when there's a household and the income gets cut in half, mm-hmm. or cut just a little bit. You don't spend more when mom gets a pay cut or dad gets a pay cut. You end up spending less. You don't go out as much. You don't keep all the lights on in the house all the time. Mm-hmm. So the expenditure goes down. You become less capable. And when you're less capable, you're less capable of recovering. So when your body doesn't get enough energy because you're trying to diet, mm-hmm. and you just start dieting down, well, now you're compromising your recovery. And as a result, you either keep the muscle the same instead of gaining it, or you even lose muscle. And for body composition and for metabolism, metabolic activity, the muscle's really, really, really important. So you're trying to lose fat, so you think you're doing the right thing by lowering the calories. And yes, you do need some combination of energy balance to make it work. However, if you do it too much or too aggressively, you can short circuit the recovery process and kind of put yourself in a bad situation where you end up like so many people end up at the end of a diet. I'm cold, I'm hungry,
yeah.
I'm miserable, I'm in a bad mood,
mm-hmm.
and I've lost a bunch of muscle. So I was shaped like a pear before. Now I just look like a smaller pear, mm-hmm. and I haven't changed my shape aesthetically. I'm the same, but smaller. And
you call that skinny fat?
Oh, skinny fat. Yeah, that's right. So you get kind of skinny fat, and the problem then becomes, where do you go from there?
Right.
And so your energy balance and your protein have to work together. If you do just one, that's what I just described. Low energy balance, like you're reducing, mm-hmm. but you also aren't eating protein very much, you can't recover from the workouts. Sorry.
Yep.
Step one, it's happening. You're coming to the perfect workout. You're getting the best workout there is. But step two, you can't recover and you don't have the nutrients to make step three happen, the adaptation. Then there's the other way where you're crushing protein and your energy balance, you're kind of eating a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to be the strongest fat guy on the block. And that's fine. That's cool. But the best combination is you want appropriate energy balance. And you could tell that by just how is the scale moving?
Right.
And then what are you eating?
Yep.
And then you just adjust as you go. And then there's a million different protein recommendations. And, you know, in general, the 1 gram per pound of desired body weight,
yeah.
which helps when, you know, you hear the 1 gram per pound of body weight and a 300 pound person's like, I need 300 grams of weight. Okay. A gram per pound of desired body weight is probably fine for most people most of the time. And then there's special cases. But it's really important to get adequate protein so you don't lose muscle, mm-hmm. especially when your energy balance is facilitating fat loss.
Yeah. I saw something recently. It's like the average American consumes 3,600 calories a day and they have no idea, which is really high, especially if you haven't been strength training.
It's like an awesome
day. Yeah, muscle. It's a good day. It's a good day until it's not. And then on the other side of this equation, and I think I just want to pause here for a second, is this idea of protein. We know that protein is vital. Most people, I think, now know that it's even more important as you age to get more protein. So older people need more protein
right.
than they would have needed, you know, 5-10 years before that. And I don't think most people understand how much protein that actually is. A good example, I'm training somebody and they're like, yep, I've been up in my protein and I know I need to get it, you know, and this person's in their mid-60s. And so I had 2 eggs today. And and they're trying, and this is good, but the point is, and this is why we talk about measuring what matters, right? Getting a good idea, there's a good period when you get started here. So I guess we're touching on nutrition a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a good period where it can be important to at least become aware of where is your energy balance compared to where it needs to be.
Right.
And what are you consuming in relation to proteins compared to where it needs to be? So you can get some idea, some feedback of what it feels like to actually consume the right amount of things.
It's kind of like the person who wants to go high protein, thinks they're going high protein, then they count it up and they're eating 70 grams each day.
Right.
And they can't understand, how could I ever eat 150 grams of, that's like a pound and a half of blah, blah, blah. Yeah, start early, you know? But then that's the same thing as the person who, like the woman who comes in and says, I want on a diet and I want to do this. Well, let's see how much you're eating now to maintain.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And it's like 900 calories. And you're like, okay, for your body composition and weight, you need to be eating. We're going to start you at like 1700.
Right.
And then we're going to build from there. We're going to build your engine.
Right.
We're going to keep.
You're going the other way. You're right.
We can't raise my calorie. Mm-hmm. No. We're going to build your muscle. We're going to build your engine. We're going to turn the lights back on in the house. We're going to get everything working again, get your hormones optimized, and build you up over a few months. Yeah, you're going to gain some weight on the scale.
Right.
But that's where body composition is different from weight. We'll talk about that in a future episode. But the idea is then we get her up. Okay, now that we put some muscle on you, now it's time for a diet, and now it's going to work because we started from such a higher place.
Right.
Your metabolism's cranking, and we've taught you good habits around food, and we've fixed you from before when you were constantly under-eating, possibly for years in a lot of cases, where it's like cereal dieting.
Yep.
And then instead of the yo-yo up with fat gain because they finally lost against the willpower battle, instead of that, they're back up with protein and strength training and metabolic health.
Yeah.
And now it works.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the same idea.
So we're going to wrap this up. Episode 8, we're going to kind of tie this back to adherence is king.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're leaving this episode with permission to move some things down your list. Enjoy the things you enjoy. I just recently discovered pickleball. I know I'm late to everything. It's awesome. It's really awesome, especially when you play against other people that aren't good yet.
Would you quit strength training to do pickleball instead?
You know, it just depends on where my career takes me, but I probably not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So do the things you like, but you've got to double down on what matters most, right? And so these first principles, exercise with the right potency, sleep, protein, and energy balance. Let's focus on those four and let's do them consistently, get some habits going. And then we can talk about the other thing that costs, you know, quite a bit of
rushing all of those. Then you can buy whatever gadgets.
There you go.
That's what he said.
Then you have permission.
Cool.
All right, man. See you soon.
All right. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.